Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. This is episode number 93, and I am Felipe León from Southern California, and with me, as always, is Mr. David Avila. David, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, Felipe. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. Trying to deal with the heat. And up there in Northern California, where I believe they're also having a little bit of issues with the weather, mostly fires. Hopefully you're in a safe place, Lupi Gutierrez. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. And yeah, we are in a safe place, although we have friends that had to evacuate, and it's not a good situation for them. But us ourselves, I mean, it's smoky. There's a lot of ash in my dog's bowl, so I had to bring it in. You know, but we're safe. We're blessed.
Yeah, my brother lives up there in Fairfield, and he was telling me that he almost had to evacuate last night, but. But it looks like they contained it a little bit, so everything.
That's great.
So let's talk about female boxing. In about 15 minutes, we do have a special guest, and it will be the first time that she's ever with us, all the way from San Jose, Costa Rica, is none other than the IBF 105-pound champion, Yocasta Valle. Valle is going to be with us in about 15 minutes here on the show, and it's actually the first time that she ever comes on the show as our guest, so we're looking forward to that. But before we go into that, let's go a little bit into the fight review and talk about the fight we saw the last couple of weeks.
You're breaking up.
Why don't you guys continue a little bit, and let's talk about Terry Harper and Natasha Jonas fight, and I'm going to go ahead and call in from my cell phone. So I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Then. So, Lupi, what did you think about that fight between Terry Harper and Natasha Jonas?
That was a really, really competitive fight. And doesn't it seem like it was a long time ago?
It sure does.
I feel like it was weeks ago. But it was a very competitive fight. It was exciting. But Terry Harper was the champion, and she was fighting, number 14? So to me, as exciting and competitive as it was, I think Terry Harper was, how do you call it? We all saw, it was like the emperor with no clothes. She was, I'm drawing a blank at the word.
Yeah, she did try her best, but it seemed like she was a little surprised by Natasha's aggressiveness. I think she expected a different fight. It just seemed like she expected a boxer runner, and she got a boxer puncher, and she really wasn't really ready for that.
No, she wasn't. Exposed. That's the word I was looking for. Exposed, really.
Oh, okay.
You know, with all the back and forth on social media that was built up to the fight, and then for that fight to happen, and I'm not It was a competitive fight, but it wasn't the Terry Harper that I think everyone thought.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm back. Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me better?
A little better.
I can hear you. You sound like you're far, but you're clear.
How about now? Does it sound better now?
You just sound a little far, but not. It's not bad. It's manageable.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, a little bit of technical difficulties there. But going back to what you guys, going back on what you guys were talking about as far as Terry Harper, I don't know if I agree 100% with Lupe saying that she was exposed. I mean, she had an opponent across from her that was very experienced. You know, she was an Olympic, and Harper doesn't seem to have that much experience. I believe that she was still pretty competitive. Now, is she going to be able to hold off the other world champions at 130 pounds, and especially Michaela Mayer. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I think that Michaela Mayer can beat Terry Harper, or at least the Terry Harper that we saw on the night of Friday, August the 7th. But it looks like there might be talks of them having a rematch, and it'll just be a matter of if Harper is able to adjust or if Jonas can do what she did a little bit better and take that title. What do you think, David?
I think Natasha's going to be a little rougher, actually. I think she kind of learned that she can deal with Terry. She gave her a little respect at first, and then she came on kind of late. I think she's going to get a better Natasha the second time. I don't know if Terry can adjust, though. I really don't know.
That's something that we are going to have to – that is something that we will have to see if she's going to be able to adjust if Jonas ends up changing up her style slightly to be able to beat her. Now, on the next week, Friday, August the 14th, also at the Metro Fight Camp in Essex, United Kingdom, and on the Zone, we saw an 8-rounder between previously undefeated Shannon Cordenay and Rachel Ball. Rachel Ball pulled the slight upset, dropping Cordenay in the first round and going on to win a unanimous decision. Well, I mean, I don't know if it was a unanimous decision because there's only one judge, and it was a referee, which made me feel like we were 19-18, and the referee scored it 77-75 for Rachel Ball. I had Courtney kind of possibly pulling it off a little bit, or maybe at least a draw, but the referee was the sole arbiter of the result, and he scored it for Ball. That is one question I have, because later on in the main event, the semi-main event, they did have three judges, so I don't know if they're getting paid by the fight, the judges, and if so, why can't Eddie Hearn spring to have it, to have all the fights judged by three actual judges? But, you know, as far as my opinion, although Rachel Ball won the fight and dropped Courtney in the first round, the one that I saw with the more professional style was Courtney. Courtney, for me, Ball seemed a bit amateurish.
Yeah.
Jimmy, did you see the same thing?
Who's that?
Did you see,
are you talking to me?
Did you see Ball being... Yeah, did you see Bob being a bit amateurish, or did you think that her pro style was actually, or her style was actually a pro style?
What I saw was a kickboxer coming into the boxing arena and being exposed, because kickboxers tend to be a little too straight up, and because they're used to kicking, and I thought Shannon slipped so many punches. I thought Rachel was very inaccurate. I saw her miss so many punches, and the referee gave her too much credit. And she did hit her, but I think Courtney must have slipped about 100 blows. And that's rare that a person slips that many punches and loses.
Now, another fighter that made a transition from kickboxing to pro boxing and actually had a really good career, but you could see that also in her style, more so in the beginning of her career, but you could still see traces of it. It's none other than Jackie Nava. She actually started as a kickboxer and transitioned to a boxer. And even to this day, a lot of people see traces of her kickboxing style in her boxing style after she has nearly 40 fights as a professional boxer and numerous world titles. So that is pretty interesting. Now, the next night, did you want to comment on that fight a little bit before we move on?
Yeah, you know, I walked in on the fourth round of that fight, and we thought this girl, Rachel Ball, is going to get knocked out. She was just breaking her down, and we were waiting for her, and we're like, oh, she's really tough, she's not getting knocked out. And then we thought, when she won, we were like, what? And then you guys told me, no, she got knocked down in the first. We went back and watched the fight. But, Willie, was that knockdown enough? You know?
Yeah, I didn't see that. Somebody had a background noise.
I also thought it was weird that the referee was the only judge.
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise. I don't know who has it. Can you check your mic, everybody?
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I hear like a breeze coming through on the mic.
Yeah.
So it looks like when you only have a – did it go away now?
Yeah. No, it just
okay,
came right now.
No.
That's weird. I don't hear it. But it looks like when you have only that one referee, then, you know, you tend to just get one opinion of the action that you saw inside the ring, and the referee actually saw it by two rounds for actually – I don't even know, 77-75, so he saw it for Rachel Ball, no matter what. Now, moving on to the next night, from downtown Tulsa in Oklahoma on the Zone, we saw a changing of the guard when current super lightweight champion, unified super lightweight champion Jessica McCaskill, scored a close majority decision over Cecilia Breakhouse, not only stopping her from breaking the Joe Louis record of most consecutive title defenses at 25, but actually taking all her world titles of all the organizations and giving her her first defeat. That was Breakout's first majority decision. So, you know, a big fight, one of the best fights that have been scheduled for this year in female boxing. And we saw something that not a lot of us believed would have happened. In fact, Cecilia Breakhouse, before the fight, was a 5-1 favorite. So, Lupe, what are your thoughts about the fight and the result?
You know, I thought it was a really exciting fight, and there were so many good things that came from this fight, you know, and it might not have been pretty, and Jessica fought her fight, and she never stopped fighting the fight, and Cecilia tried to, you know, keep up, and she couldn't. I didn't really see Cecilia waking up or figuring things out till like the seventh. And then it kind of like she figured it out, and then she was able to take a few rounds. But it was Jessica fought the way she thought she had to win, and she won. And she was the underdog, and she only had 10 fights. And, yeah, she's not the boxer. She doesn't have the prettiest movements, but she did it. And for Cecilia, I thought Cecilia looked stunned right after the first couple rounds. She sat on the stool, and to me she looked stunned, like, wow. She didn't expect that. I don't think she's ever been hit like that or come at like that.
David?
It's funny, but that fight reminded me of years ago when Roberto Duran fought Sugar Ray Leonard. And Duran, you know, made it an ugly fight, kept him inside, and just brutalized him. I mean, he didn't really hurt Leonard, but he made him fight his fight, and he came out the winner. You know, it was very reminiscent of that fight to me.
Yeah,
I mean, what we saw was Cecilia Breakhouse that was more, especially in the first half, like Lupin mentioned, Cecilia Breakhouse who was more more keen into actually, you know, exchanging punches and not staying at a distance. Now, it could have been a decision that her and her trainer Abel Sanchez made, or it could have been the fact that McCaskill forced her to fight like that, you know. But what we did see, and Lupe just mentioned it, is kind of woke up in the seventh round and was able to establish some distance between her and McCaskill. So that might have made a difference as well. Or maybe McCaskill just started getting more tired, and that also was a factor where Cecilia was able to create some distance. So, you know, at this point, it is what it is, and she won, and McCaskill won the fight. Now she's a unified welterweight champion, as well as the unified super lightweight champion with two belts. So we're going to see what happens there and where she decides to stay. Now, they did have an interview. They did comment with them after the fight. And here's what Cecilia had to say regarding if we will ever see her in a ring again.
I've done so much, and I miss my friends, my family. And, you know, women boxing is just an amazing place right now. So, you know, they'll do fine without me.
She said that, you know, that female boxing is in a perfect place right now, and or a very good place, and that maybe they don't need her anymore to be the first lady of boxing. Do you agree with that, Lupi?
Yeah, and it's not that they don't need her. I hope she stays, and I hope she stays in different ways. But it seemed to me that when they announced Jessica, you know, she had a smile. It felt to me that she was relieved. You know, she was ready to move on, and that she picked who she wanted to be her successor. You know, the way Cecilia handled it. I mean, that wasn't one of the most beautiful things of the fight. That's why I thought it was so. It was just such a beautiful fight. It was brutal, and then the end, where she handled it with so much grace, and we all saw the video where Jessica came to return her belts, I mean, with respect, and I don't know, Cecilia looked relieved, but then again, she said she was going on vacation, so we'll see how she feels when she has some R&R, you know, she might feel differently.
Now, David, you know, she didn't, actually, let me play this other clip where she's asked, we're going to see her in the future.
I don't want to talk about that right now. I just want to congratulate Jessica. She did it. She really wanted it. She did a great match. And I'm proud mm-hmm. and happy to, you know, pass the torch to her. And I have to say, I don't know what's going to happen right now, but I'm incredibly, I'm so proud to be part of women boxing right now. Yeah. If this is my last fight, I can leave women boxing and just say that, you know, I was a part of this. I was a part of taking women boxing to this level. And that will be my biggest achievement at all, of all.
Now, it's known that there is a rematch clause, especially if Jessica McCaskill would have won the fight. Do you think, David, that we see breakouts again at least in one more fight?
Well, according to my sources, they're contemplating doing a rematch, and we'll see what happens. I've heard that she's vacationing right now. She's still in the United States, and that they're thinking that they're going to ask for the rematch. It is in the clause, so there shouldn't be a problem with that. And, you know, it'll be another exciting fight.
And a big money fight.
Oh, yeah.
Now, McCaskill was asked what the strategy was going into the fight, and this is what she had to say.
Well, my coach definitely told me a couple nights ago, he said, hey, this fight it for you. So
actually, that wasn't the clip. This is the clip.
Well, my coach definitely told me a couple nights ago, he said, hey.
We're having all kinds of technical difficulties here. Give me 1 second. Here goes.
I just didn't stop. I didn't expect her to be as rough as she was, but I was ready to be as rough as I had to be, and that's what came out. And it was a lot like McCaskill-Taylor 1, and, you know, we're looking for that McCaskill-Taylor 2. So it's just throwing when she's holding and trying to move and make those punches happen. Keep your feet moving and just be aggressive, be more aggressive and out-punch. You guys said it yourself. Shout out to Punch Count. We never get a punch count, but for the females, 230 more punches than she did. That tells you that I wanted it.
And as far as what a breakout said, what happened, Classy, she didn't really want to get into it, but she did mention.
Well, Jessica just threw more punches than me tonight, and she really, really wanted it. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything more. I just want to congratulate her and take good care of this. I used a lifetime selecting those belts to take good care of them,
yeah.
And I know she will do that.
So the recurring theme in both of those comments from both ladies is that Jessica McCaskill wanted it more. And I think that's something that we did see inside the ring, where she was relentless with her attack and never really giving Breakhouse any chance of breathing, to say it that way. David, do you agree that her relentlessness was much more of a weapon than her actual boxing skill?
I think that's part of her skills. Part of Jessica's skills is that she can fight more than one way. And I think a lot of people are underestimating her. I think that they forget the fact that she beat Erica Farias twice, and she was she was a former pound-for-pound contender before, too. And the fact that she beat her twice, it kind of tells you that, you know, Jessica knows what she's doing, and she knows how to apply, stay to a plan and make it work. And she did a lot of slipping. She slipped a lot of punches in there, too, fighting inside. She's able to slip and counter and use the uppercut to perfection. I thought it was a master class in fighting inside. But I've never seen women do that. I've never seen that. I take it back. I've seen it happen, but I rarely see it happen. Rarely.
Yeah.
Now, Lupe, if you were Rick Ramos, if you were McCaskill's manager, what would you say to her for what she should do? Moving on, should she stay at 147 and look for fights in that division, or to drop down to 140 and try to unify that division with the fights that could be made there?
Yeah, I mean, she is 140, right? She moved up to 147. I would stick to unify. But knowing.
Go ahead.
Almost, they're looking for the big fights. So I think they're going to go where the big fights are, the big money fights. So wherever that weight class is, that's what they're going to do.
So, David, big money fight here with the one that Lupe mentioned is the rematch with Taylor. So do you see that fight happening more at 140 or at a catch weight of 145 to make it a welterweight fight?
With who? With Jessica or with Cecilia?
With McCaskill and Taylor.
I think when it comes to McCaskill, I think that there's no advantage. So if they want to do it at 140 and a half or 140 and an ounce, they can do it, you know, because they're both the same size. They're not real welterweights that they can do it. So all they have to, you know, they can weigh 147 if they want or 140 and an ounce if they want.
Maybe they could do what the PBC is trying to do with Gervonta Davis and Lima Santa Cruz, where if Gervonta Davis weighs 130 pounds, they would be fighting for the 135 and 130 pound titles. So that's something that they could do as well. He'd be fighting for those six titles, you know, or even I think it's seven titles, because I think Breakers had five titles, including the IBO, and then the two titles of McCaskill at 140. And that would be, although it would be gimmicky, it would be a huge fight for female boxing, where they could actually see that there's actually six world titles in play in one fight. And they can make it happen as long as both of them weigh 140 and all the organizations are willing to do it. They're willing to do it with Davis and Leo Santa Cruz, so I don't know why they wouldn't be willing to do it here. Before we move on, because I believe we have our guest on the line, let's see what McCaskill said as far as who she thinks can win the fight between Katie Taylor and Delphine Persoon coming up this Saturday night.
I don't know. I think Katie really underestimated her last time. I was looking back at some of the pictures that you guys were posting, and gosh, she was bloody everywhere, and I hope she's a lot more disciplined in her skills this time and comes out with a win, because I want to be the one to beat her.
I like it.
There you go. So she's Taylor Witt, because she's the one that wants to give her that first O, and she already did it to one of the most legendary fighters in sumo boxing, Cecilia Breakhouse. Yeah. So she could do it then, and she could do it now. So, but on the line with us, I believe it's none other than current IBF minimum weight champion, Yukita Valle. Let's see if that's her. Hello? 506? Aquí tenemos en línea. Hello?
Yeah, hello. How are you, sir?
Who is this? I'm sorry?
This is Mario Vega. I'm Yocasta Valle's promoter. How are you?
Yes, Good. Thank you. Thanks for being with us. Is she on the line with you?
Yeah, she's right here. The only thing is, you know, if you can translate.
Hola, pura vida.
Hola, Yocasta. Muchas gracias por estar con nosotros aquí en el programa. Y de hecho, pues te va a traducir Mario y voy a pasar la batuta al co-anfitrión David Ávila. David, go right ahead.
Okay, buenísimo. Muchas gracias, más bien por invitarme.
Oh, so Yocasta, so how are you? What are you doing in Costa Rica? And what's it like over there right now? Go ahead, Felipe.
¿Cómo estás? ¿Y qué estás haciendo aquí en Costa Rica?
Yo súper bien aquí en Costa Rica, a lo que se puede. Estamos entrenando muy fuerte para cualquier pelea que se venga.
We're very fine here in Costa Rica. We're training hard, getting ready for anything that will come. We know that something's coming at the end of the year.
And so tell us, you signed with Red Boxing earlier in the year. And what was the enticement to sign with Red Boxing?
¿Qué firmaste con Red Boxing? ¿Qué era lo que buscamos?
Well, actually, I can answer that one.
Okay.
We're looking to go to the U.S., Mr. David. We want Yoka to fight in the U.S., so that's our idea.
And What are the goals that you've established? You know what, Mario? Why don't you explain also what you do for the listeners? What you do for Yocasta and how you got involved in boxing?
Okay. Yes, Mr. Avila, I'm the promoter, the boxing promoter here in Costa Rica. I've been doing it for the past 10 years. We had working with Mr. Dino Da Vinci, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have been developing fighters like we worked in Hannah Gabriels for a while. Then we had Brian Vasquez too. We did the Francisco Fonseca's career before his last fight, of course, that we were not involved against this kid from Golden Boy.
Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia. And, of course, we have now Yocasta Valle, which is right now the fighter that is being really well promoted here in Costa Rica. Last fight audience in the national TV was around 450,000 people who watched Yocasta's last fight, last February 8th, her world title defense against a girl from the Philippines. So she's very, very, very active here. And she has a big following.
So, Yocasta, how did you get involved in boxing? What were you doing that made you see boxing as a career?
¿Cómo te involucraste en el boxeo?
Bueno, empecé por mi papá, que él fue el que me llevó a los 13 años para que empezara a entrenar.
She started when she was 13 years old. Her father was the one who brought her to the boxing gym.
Y a como dos, tres semanas de entrenar, igual nunca no me llamaba la atención, pero cuando tuve mi primera pelea, ahí fue donde me enamoré del boxeo.
She was not very happy about it. She didn't like, especially the smell of the gym and the gloves. So, but then two weeks into the training, her coach told her that she wanted to fight, and she said yes, and she managed to win that fight, and she fell in love of the sensation of winning. So since then, she hasn't stopped training.
So Madi, you were we talk often for the audience. I've known Mario for many, many years, and we talk, and he's mentioned that Yocasta is one of the hardest working females he's ever seen. And mm-hmm. What do you think differentiates Yocasta from the other fighters aside from just being a hard worker? What do you think it comes from?
To be honest, Mr. David, that's the question I would like to know. So all my fighters can be like her. She's disciplined. Like her trainer says, she's basically like a soldier.
She has never told her trainer not that she's not going to do anything, or she just do it. You know, everything that she's told, she does without hesitating or asking why, or just, you know, she's a hardworking girl. Basically, her dad is he's into the sports. You know, the people that the build, he's a bodybuilder. He's a bodybuilder. So he was very disciplined, and he coached her in that sense. She was, when they were growing up, she saw that her dad didn't eat, you know, what everybody else eat, even if like it was really good food or stuff like that. He had to do the weight, and he had to become number one. So she learned from her dad, who's actually, he's like, I think 48 years old, and he's really, really big and very, very lean still.
And what has been her, I know she's fought all over the world. What has been some of her best experiences fighting in other countries?
Que has peleado por distintas partes del mundo, ¿cuál ha sido tu mejor experiencia?
La última que fui en España, que gané el título mundial, que era algo, es difícil pelear afuera y ganar en España y ganarle a la campeona, con todo en contra, eso fue una de las satisfacciones más importantes para mí, más traer el título mundial para Costa Rica.
Basically, the last fight that she went out, it was in Spain, where she took the title from Joana Pastrana, which was the champion, and it was her third defense. So we had everything against us, and it was really nice to win that title and bring it back to Costa Rica.
And for our listeners, Yocasta came very close to fighting against Sunisa Estrada. How did it feel when that fight? Well, first, explain what happened, why you weren't able to fight Sunisa Estrada, and also how it felt that not being able to come.
Yeah, basically we had everything advanced to fight Sunisa Estrada, and just when we were about to sign the contract, we got the phone call from the IBF. At that point, Yocasta was number one at the rankings at the IBF, and the IBF wanted to do the mandatory fight for Joana Pastrana. So after 2 years of looking for that fight, to fight Joana Pastrana, they offer, you know, to go to a first bid and all that. At the end, we don't even, we accept all the terms to go to Spain, and that's why we didn't fight Sunisa, but she can tell you about Sunisa.
Sí.
Que no pelearon, pero que.
Ah, bueno, sí, que nosotros queríamos pelear con Sunisa, siempre le hemos tenido en la mira, pero tuvimos la oportunidad de pelear título mundial, que era en España.
She said that she really wanted to fight Sunisa, that she has always have it on, you know, on her eye to fight with her, and but it was you know, a big opportunity to fight the world champion against Joana Pastrana. She definitely would like to fight Sunisa in a close future.
What is the Yoka see among the in her weight class? Who are some of the fighters that she looks at and sees as opportunities or challenges? Is there anybody around that she has her eyes on?
En tu división, ¿con quién quieres ver y quién quieres pelear?
Bueno, ahorita quiero pelear con las campeonas, que son Exukota, que es japonesa, con mexicana Nabel Ortiz y Tina Rupert, de Alemania.
Right now, what she wants is to, you know, fight against the other 105 champions. We know the Japanese girl, Etsuko Tada, or Anabel Ortiz from Mexico, which is the WBA champion, or have a rematch against the girl from Germany, Tina Rupert.
Oh, okay. Mario, I'm going to pass you on to Lupi Gutierrez from San Francisco.
Hi, hi Mario, hi Yoka. It's nice to talk to you. Hi. So I was looking at your social media, and you're in excellent shape, and now I know why, because your father was a bodybuilder. But how much does conditioning make up of your workout?
Que estaba viendo tus redes sociales y vio que están en muy buena condición física. Ya ahora entiende por qué, de que tu papá te enseñó que era cuestión qué tan. What was the question again? Sorry.
So how much does conditioning make up of her workout?
Okay. ¿Qué significa el acondicionamiento físico para todo tu trabajo?
Bueno, muy importante, ya que mi entrenador Marco Delgado es muy exigente. Él siempre me quiere ver en forma, porque él dice que en cualquier momento podemos pelear y siempre hay que estar listos para cualquier otra pelea.
She said that Marco Delgado, which is her trainer, he's very, very into the discipline, and he always wants her ready, because we never know when a fight will come, and she has to be ready. For example, I'll tell you an example. With Francisco Fonseca, we had the fight against Gervonta Davis 15 days, before, and he was ready because of the work ethic that Marco Delgado as a trainer has. So that's very, very important for him and for her.
That's great. You know, Yoka, you also have contests. I saw you had a jump rope contest, and you give out workout routines, like mini routines on your social media. How important is it for you to stay engaged with your fans?
Qué tan importante es que te mantengas en redes sociales, como ahorita que estás haciendo el concurso y que das rutinas, qué tan importantes son tus fans.
Demasiado importante, ya que aquí en Costa Rica la gente me tiene mucho cariño. De hecho, no tengo mucho que me hayan conocido, porque de hecho aquí es difícil en la parte de otros deportes como el fútbol.
It's very important for her because here in Costa Rica, you know, people have a lot of love for her. You know, in social media right now, she has combined Facebook and Instagram over 200,000 people. But it was not always like that. She just got into the public eye like 2 years ago when she was participating in a dancing contest. It was not even for boxing, so it's very important to keep engaged and adding more people, because right now is the way to promote her, you know.
Y más en esta situación que estamos en la pandemia, motivarlos a que hagan ejercicio y así ayudar un poco.
And now in this situation that we are involved in the world with the COVID, right? She wants to keep people active, moving, and help them. Past this difficult time.
Yeah, and so you also work with the elderly. What do you do?
También trabajo con el adulto mayor.
Sí, trato de abarcar varios, ya sea los niños, a la edad promedio y adulto mayor, porque sí me mandan mensajes de que Yoka, me puedes ayudar a una rutina adulto mayor, si puedo saltar cuerda también a los 70 años. Y les doy los consejos.
She tries to work with kids, the people, and also elderly people. She got a lot of she receives a lot of questions about what they can do. Yoka is also she's studying to be a trainer, so she's almost getting her degree. So that's why she likes to teach people. And basically, we did a one video with jumping rope, and it got viral. Right now, it has over almost 3 million people that saw the video. So it was a very big thing for her. In Mexico, people, a lot of people in Mexico and Argentina has got involved with her career because of that video.
And because of the dancing, she can. What's great about social media is she can bring new fans to boxing that wouldn't have been, they're looking at her dancing and now they know she boxes.
Ajá, que como participaste en un curso de baile, trajiste gente nueva al que le gustara el boxeo.
Sí, eso es desde niña, que nunca se imaginaron que les gustaba el deporte, les gusta el boxeo, y muchos decían, Yoka, muchos de los costarricenses aquí dicen, Yoka, a mí no me gusta el boxeo, pero me gusta usted, me gusta su personalidad, su lucha y su disciplina.
She said that it's very important that a lot of little girls have told her, you know, that they want to be like her. And also a lot of people that saw her dancing, and now they tell her, I didn't like boxing, but because of you, now I watch. And actually last fight, we had a crowd, probably it was like 4,000 people. The fight before, we got 5,000 people into the stadium. So actually she's actually developing a huge follow-up, and new, like you say, new people to come to the boxing because of her.
That's so nice. Ben, how do you structure your time with your daughter?
¿Cómo estructura el tiempo con su hija?
No es mi hija, es mi sobrina, pero trato de pasar tiempo con ella. Como ella es amante al boxeo, también le gusta. Entonces, es que ella pasa tanto tiempo conmigo, pero no es mi hija.
She said that it's not her daughter, it's her nephew. Her niece, sorry. It's not English,
she looks just like her.
Yeah.
She looks
she looks just like
mini Yoka.
Uh-huh. Actually, Yoka has her family is five sisters. So that's from her older the daughter, sister, that she actually was in boxing, but you know, after the baby and all that, she didn't keep involved. But the little girl, she loves boxing, so she always goes to the gym and she likes to be involved.
Oh, that's nice. Another one for the future.
Yeah.
So,
well, actually, Yoka's sister, she's the youngest of the sisters. She's 16 years old, and she has already won 3 national games, and she was the best athlete in the here. There's like a national games every year, and she was the best athlete in the last national games. So we're developing her sister, which is she's 16 years old, and we're trying to get her more into the amateur, you know, to go to the Olympics. But she's she's really talented.
Oh, runs in the family, huh?
Exactly.
So Yoka, you have a nice record with 20-2, and then your 2 losses to Fujioka, and they were 6 months apart. So did the second loss have anything to do with the first? Like, where were you mentally?
Que tienes un muy buen récord de 20 ganadas y 2 perdidas. Que estaba viendo que las 2 perdidas fueron contra Fujioka y Rupert con una diferencia de 6 meses. Que si la pelea en Alemania, o sea, haber perdido en Japón, ¿te afectó en Alemania?
No, más bien me dio más ganas de entrenar más fuerte. Más bien la primera pérdida, apenas vine aquí a Costa Rica, acaso 2-3 días de descanso y empezamos de una vez a entrenar, porque mi promotor Mario Vega me dijo, Yoka, yo sé que vienen cosas mejores, usted tranquila, porque sí, bastante, me afectó bastante mi primera derrota.
Actually, she said, you know, that her first loss in Japan was, it was very difficult for her, but it actually make her train more. Yeah. And when she came back from Japan, she rested like a couple of days and went back to the gym to get ready, because we knew more big things were coming. And actually, we went to Germany, and Yoka, to be honest, she gave this girl Tina Ruprecht a beating. But it's very difficult to win in Germany. She never leaves Germany, and we actually really felt that she won. The cards were crazy. Even the last round, to put it an example, all the judges score 10-10 in all 3 cards. You know, we felt, you know, if you're there and you're getting paid to be a judge, just take a decision, right? But a lot of the cards were 10-10, which we felt it was crazy.
Yeah, and that's what happened. So you said you want to fight the champions, and you'd love to get fight Tanisha, but if they said Yoka, who do you want to fight? Who is your fight? Who do you want?
O sea, dijiste que querías pelear con las campeonas, que también quieres pelear con Ceniza, pero ¿con quién quieres pelear? ¿Cuál es tu pelea?
Es que ahorita la que sea, porque de ahí tengo 6 meses de no pelear y de hecho yo estoy lista en cualquier momento, la que sea. Entonces, ahorita lo que quiero es pelear con las mejores y cualquiera para mí sería perfecta.
She says that she has 6 months without fighting and she misses it a lot. She wants to punch somebody, she says. So she's ready to fight anyone. She wants to fight the best. She wants to fight all the champions and the best fighters because she wants to prove she's number one. She was watching the box rec yesterday and she's number four and she wants to go directly. She wants to work to go to number one and be the best fighter in her division.
Nice. And I have one last question. It's for you, Mario. As your promoter, who do you think is the fight for Yoka out here in the States?
Of course, as promoter, we would like to fight Ceniza Estrada. I think she's big. She's a big fighter, but she hasn't fought nobody. Like the last fight, it was too easy for her. And like I say, any time that I come to a fight for Yoka, she never said no. We went, and Mr. Avila knows, we went to fight for Yoka, which is, it was at that point, four times world champion in four different divisions. And Yoka, she only had, she had like 14 fights or something like that, which from those 14 fights, there were only like 6 competitive fights before, you know, she started fighting people from Mexico and before. And she never hesitated. She went, and I know that Yoka, in the press conference, what she said is that what she noticed about Yoka is when they were face-to-face, she had no fear. She didn't show her any fear, and that's what Yoka has. She's willing to face, the best. And to promote an athlete like that is the best thing it can happen. The only thing is it's tough to promote female boxing. Shows like yours, it makes a difference. And I want to congratulate you guys because of the work that you do. All together, we can bring female boxing to where it's supposed to be, where men and women can be equal.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Mario. Gracias, Yoka. It was great
speaking
with you.
Muchísimas gracias. Hasta luego.
All right, bye. Felipe?
Okay. Yes. Mario, my first question is for you. You mentioned how difficult it is to promote female boxing, but in Costa Rica, it sounds like you have popular fighters like Ana Gabriels and Yoka Valle. What more needs to happen in Costa Rica for you to feel that female boxing is being promoted better?
No, to be honest, actually, I think the country to promote female boxing is Costa Rica. I mean, we had, and Mr. Avila knows, we had a show where Hannah Gabriels brought 15,000 people to the stadium, and Yoka is now getting crowds of 5,000, and we're working hard to, my goal is to make a record and make a fight, a female fight, and bring at least 30,000 people to the national stadium. That's where we're working, and that's our project for next year, and I think we can do it. The only thing is that our country is very, very, very big on soccer, and it's huge, the fan base here of soccer. But like I say, the ratings that Yoka are producing, last fight hit the 30 points of rating, 450,000 people watched the fight. And like I said, she has only have two fights from the 22 fights that she has. Only two fights have been in the in TV, and we're getting those numbers. So I think we have a bright future. We like to go to the U.S. and fight there, so we can have the support. There's a huge community of people from Costa Rica. For example, in New Jersey, there are around 20,000 people just in one place in New Jersey. So that's something interesting, and we really like to explode that. And try to see. Plus, Yoka is like I say, she has a very nice vibe, and she's a beautiful fighter. So I think she has all the tickets to add in this fight of female boxing.
I'm gonna speak in Spanish real quick. Ahora yo hablo español, entonces yo voy a hacer la pregunta a Yoka y la voy a traducir y luego ya si Mario tú quieres traducir su respuesta estuviera perfecto, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask her in Spanish and then I'm gonna introduce the question myself and then Mario's gonna introduce Yoka's answer. Yoka, me di cuenta que naciste en Nicaragua. ¿Cómo llegaste tú o con tu familia a Costa Rica? Yoka actually was born in Nicaragua but lives in Costa Rica. So my question is, how did she or just she by her by herself or with her family ended up in Costa Rica?
Bueno, yo nací en Nicaragua. Mi familia siempre, digamos, mi papá, mi mamá, vinieron desde jóvenes. Prácticamente yo fui que nací allá y aquí estuve en Costa Rica toda mi vida y yo tengo mis papeles. Luego ya me nacionalizaron costarricense y siempre he representado a Costa Rica. Digamos que fue como que nací. Estoy orgullosa de mis raíces nicaragüenses, pero siempre he representado a Costa Rica con todo el orgullo.
She says that basically her mom and dad came to Costa Rica very young. Actually, we had a lot of people from Nicaragua that comes to Costa Rica looking for better opportunities. And basically, her mom went back to Nicaragua to give birth for her mother to help her. And then she came back, and she has always been here in Costa Rica. Then she became she got the national of Costa Rica, right? She has a Costa Rican passport, and she has always fight for Costa Rica. She's very proud of her roots as being born in Nicaragua, but she fight for Costa Rica.
Muy bien. Yoka, después de tu segunda derrota al hilo, volviste a pelear en dos meses. ¿Qué tan importante era para ti subirte otra vez al cuadrilátero y después de esas dos derrotas? After your two losses, straight losses, she fought 2 months later. So my question was, how important was it for her to step back into the ring after those two losses?
Bueno, después de perder dos seguidas, más bien, no me desanimé porque confié en mi equipo. Mi promotor Mario Vega me dijo, bueno, Yoka, sigue entrenando, van a venir mejores cosas para usted. Y así fue, dos días de descanso y una vez nos fuimos al gimnasio a entrenar fuerte porque yo sabía que en cualquier momento yo le dije, apenas yo esté lista, como entrenador Marco Delgado, vamos a pelear. Es importante a mí mantenerme activa porque eso es lo que mantiene, sí, aprovechar lo máximo de mi carrera.
Uh-huh. Okay, after the second loss, she felt pretty bad, but she didn't let her that come over her. She knew that she trusts her team, she trusts me and her trainer to get her back on track. And when she came back, even she rest a couple of days and we're back to the gym because it's very important for her to be ready. And that's what drives her, being ready to fight anytime because she trusts on her team.
Ahora, tus dos derrotas han sido en países extranjeros y tu campeonato de título mundial fue en otro país extranjero de España. Antes de llegar a ese y subir al relato contra Joana Pastrana, ¿qué tan nerviosa estabas que te pudiera pasar lo que te pasó en Alemania? Her two losses were in foreign countries, in Japan and Germany, and her world title win was in Spain against Joana Pastrana. So how nervous was she going into Spain and into the ring that what happened in Spain, in Germany, could have happened in Spain?
Bueno, todo es de la experiencia. Bueno, después de haber ido a, empezando por Japón, acaso yo tenía pocas peleas, estaba subiendo dos divisiones, no tenía tanta experiencia en Alemania. Igual, fue, digamos, sí, gané bien la pelea, pero aún así tenía que ganar, siento yo, proponer más en la pelea, no ir tanto boxeando, que a veces pasa. Y luego cuando ya fuimos a España, yo dije, la tercera es la vencida. Nos preparamos como nunca, porque no queríamos dejar nada a los jueces, ni siquiera al público.
She said that when she went to Japan, the first fight, she didn't have a lot of experience. Plus, she was right there. She was fighting at atom weight at 102. She went two divisions up to fight probably one of the best female fighters, and she didn't have the experience. But she went, 10 rounds toe-to-toe with her. Then we went to Germany, and she felt she won the fight, but she left too many spaces because she thought she was winning, and she didn't have the experience. So when we went to Spain, she said, third time is a charm, and I'm not going to leave any doubts. I'm going to go all the way, and that was the plan that we did for that fight. If you see the fight, Joka never stopped throwing punches. Even when we went in the TV in Spain, the trainer was telling Joka at the second round, motivating her, telling her to go after her, and the guys were like, why is he doing that? Why, it's only the second round, but that was the fight that we did, and she went at it. For 10 rounds, and so we didn't left any doubts, even that the referee was from Spain, and there was also a judge from Spain who gave the fight as a tie. The other two judges saw what really happened and gave Joka the one, the title.
Igual tuve miedo a la hora de la decisión, porque puede pasar, me hubiera pasado lo mismo en Alemania, igual si tuve miedo en perder.
For the decision, she was very scared, that it could happen, the same thing that happened in Germany. So she was very scared, but at the end, she got the title, and it was very important for our country.
¿Cómo describiera su estilo? Y la segunda pregunta que está con eso es, ¿cuál tu mejor arma? I'm asking her, how would she describe her style? And also the second question, well, the second part of that question would be, what is the best weapon that she has with her style?
Well, mi estilo, a mí me encanta ir hacia adelante, tirando mucho golpe, diría, el estilo mexicano. Pero mi entrenador me ha dicho que a veces hay peleas, a veces que hay que boxear, hay que ir a media, ir a la corta, pero bueno, a veces hay momentos que me dice mi entrenador, yo que vaya a su estilo, que me gusta ir hacia adelante tirando mucho golpe, y para mí mi mejor arma es mi esquina, mi disciplina, que cualquier cosa que tengamos, podemos tener plan A, plan B, depende del tipo de pelea.
She says that she loves Mexican style. She likes to go forward, throwing punches. That's what she loves. But with her trainer, she has also learned to dominate being inside, in the middle or far away. She all the fights are different, and she said that her best weapon, to put it like that, is her corner, because they always bring a plan A, plan B, plan C, and it's very, very, very good trainer that she has. So that's her best asset.
¿Cuáles son tus boxeadores favoritas o tus boxeadoras favoritas? ¿Cuáles son las que te gustan estudiar, o si son hombres, estudiar para ver si puedes aprender algo nuevo. What, who is her favorite boxer, whether it be male or female, and which fighters does she like to study to see if she can get something new out of it?
Bueno, a mí me encanta de boxeadoras mujeres, Jackie Nava. El estilo para mí de ella es increíble. Y de hombres, siempre admiraba a Floyd Mayweather, pero ahorita actual, Canelo Álvarez.
She, like, for the female, she loves Jackie Nava's style. She believes she has an incredible style, the way that she fights. And she has always admired Floyd Mayweather, but now actually she really likes Canelo Álvarez.
Ahora mencionaste que antes de tu pelea ante la japonesa Fuyoka habías peleado en peso atomo y has subido a 108 y ahorita estás en 115 como la campeona de la FIB. Pero en cuántas diferentes 105. Categorías? 105, sí, 105. El peso mínimo, perdón. ¿En cuántas diferentes categorías ves que puedas tú militar antes de terminar tu carrera? How many different divisions can she see herself fight at before she calls a career?
Bueno, pienso que ya retirándome, yo creo que subiría 112, 112 libras.
She said that basically, well, she has, like I said, she won the title at 102, then she went to 108, now she's in 105. And, you know, advancing in her career, she would like to try at 112 pounds.
Bueno, muy bien. Mi última pregunta es, mencionas un combate ante Zeniesa Estrada. Estrada ha mencionado públicamente de que le gustaría bajar a las 105 libras y retar a la campeona de la AMB, Anabel La Avispa Ortiz. De hecho, al parecer, Golden Boy Promotions acaba de firmar a Ortiz. Pero, ¿qué tan abierta estuvieras tú a dejar que Zeniesa Estrada te retara por ese título, tu título de la FIB de las 105 libras, aunque signifique hacer la pelea en los Estados Unidos? My question is that Zeniesa Estrada has mentioned that she is willing to go down to 105 and challenge the WBA champion, Anabel Ortiz, but my question for Yocasta is how willingly would she be to come to the United States and defend her title against Zeniesa Estrada, even though it would have to be in the United States?
Bueno, yo le diría a ella que está perdiendo el tiempo buscando la pelea con Anabel Ortiz. ¿Por qué? Porque quién sabe cuándo la van a aceptar. Mientras, si me dice a mí, me reta, yo la firmo. Si me dice hoy, mañana mismo la firmo para que peleemos y tengamos la pelea pactada, si quiere bajar de peso.
She says that I believe she Zeniesa is wasting her time looking for a fight against La Avispa Ortiz. That if she wants to go down to 105, she can give her a call and we can have a contract tomorrow. Then she's ready to fight whenever, even in the state, no problem.
Very well, David. Be anything else you want to add?
I'm sorry. What was that?
I was asking David and Lupi if there's anything else that they wanted to add.
Okay.
David, Lupi?
I just want to say that I'm really excited and I can't wait to see who you fight next.
Que está muy, muy, o sea, que quiere ver con quién pelear la próxima pelea.
Muchísimas gracias. Sí, yo también estoy entusiasmada por saber quién quiere pelear conmigo. En serio, sí estoy muy ansiosa, por eso nos estamos preparando súper fuerte para hacer una gran pelea y más ahorita, ¿verdad? Que sea una pelea que la vea todo el mundo.
She's also excited to see who she's going to fight next, and she's getting ready because she knows she's going to come to a big fight and for the world to watch. We're actually asking for all the permissions and everything with this situation with the virus. To do a fight here in late October, a tune-up fight, you know, because it's been too much time and she never leaves the gym. So fighters need to fight, and so we're looking to do a fight here in October. And like I say, you probably say that if she fights Zeniesa, he has to be in the U.S. I can think and I can dream that we can actually do a fight here in Costa Rica. get 30,000 people to the stadium and bring Chaniesa to fight to Costa Rica. Why not?
Well, yeah, to piggyback on that question or on that statement, Mario, and it sounds like you have a contract with TV, with Valle and the Costa Rican TV, but do you think that you guys will be able to generate the type of purse that Inés Estrada would ask for, which will probably be over $100,000 since she got paid $75,000 to fight in her last fight, and being that it will be a world title in Valle's hometown or home country, do you think that with TV in Costa Rica and the ticket sales, you guys could generate a six-figure purse for Inés Estrada?
Well, why not? I think, like I say, we work very hard. Mr. Avila knows we have everything here to do it. We have the a country behind us to support us. And why not? And actually, I believe that any promoter out there would like to do something in a beautiful country like Costa Rica. You know, we have a really beautiful country, and it's actually very close from the U.S. I consider this country like the backyard of the U.S. because we have a lot of tourism from the U.S. And it'll be a really nice setup to do. We have a really nice stadium, and like I say, we're trying to get at least 30,000 people, and I believe we can generate a lot of things, but you know, it's things that we're working on and that we would like to see. It's interesting, like what you say about her making that amount of money and the fighter that she fought. For me, it's amazing, but you never know. Like I say, Mr. Avila knows that we like to work hard. And the sky is the limit, like I say. And sometimes it's difficult to say that, you know, we have a country, a whole country behind us. We're small, but they do love Yoka. So we can dream. We can dream.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mario, and very much thank you to Yocasta Valle for being here with us tonight. We wish you all the luck, and hopefully we get to see you in the ring soon.
No, thank you very much.
Buenas noches.
She's working. She's working on that. She's working on her.
Yes, sí, yes.
We're working. Muy we're getting there.
Muy bien. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Y
que Dios,
I mean, really, we really, we feel honored to be on your show. Every time that I have a chance, I listen to you guys. And I believe it's an amazing job. Mr. Avila, you know, I respect him. He's one of the people, you know, that I most respect in boxing. He's a gentleman, and if he's working with you guys, it's because you're truly the best. So thank you for the opportunity, the space, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you. Thank you for those words, and we hope you all the best. And hopefully it's not the first time that you're here with us on the show.
Perfect. Anytime.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good night. Okay,
bye.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Bye,
Mr. Avila.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Yocasta Valle, the IB her boxer a couple minutes ago. She was also the 102-pound champion for the IBF. She fought for it, the vacant title, in 2016 against Ana Victoria Polo. She won a split decision, but she didn't get to defend the title. Since two fights later, she ended up fighting Naoko Fuyoka and Tina Rubricret and suffered those losses. But, you know, she sounds like a hard worker. She sounds like she has a good head on her shoulders, and I hope that we can see her fighting in the United States soon.
Me too.
David, is David with us?
David, are you there? Oh, did we lose
him?
Maybe you'll call back.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, there you
are.
Can
you hear me?
You probably muted your microphone.
I'm a,
there you
go. I must have had it muted. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if there was an extra. There was extra noise coming, so I muted mine just in case it was me.
Okay. Well, nothing. It sounds perfect right now as far as my end comes. But let's move on because we've got about 20 minutes left, and we do have a huge fight coming up this weekend. So let's move on very quickly to the fight chatter. During an interesting back and forth on Twitter, high-ranked superweight contender Bella Meir and current IBF world champion Maiva Hamadouche came up with a plan on how the division should move forward. Mayer stated, and I quote, "Here's the plan, champ. You go fight Hyunmyo Choi, might take a while, and get that second belt. In the meantime, I'll take Eva Braunica's and Terry Harper's, assuming she doesn't lose it, and then we can meet each other in the ring to unify. I think you're the most deserving of the unification belt, so I'll save you for last. Just leave the Olympics and focus on rounding up those belts." The comment came after Hamadouche commented, "Talk less, train more. I've been ready for you for 2 years," on a video Mayer posted calling out all the champions at 130 pounds. What did you make of that statement, Lupe, and also of the comment that Hamadouche posted on there regarding that video that Mayer posted?
So Michaela, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, she's like, "I'm on social media. I got to be on social media more. I'll get the hang of it." Well, she's gotten the hang of it. She's been on fire. And she speaks all the truth. I don't know. She does speak the truth. And I like Hamadouche the best. I think I really like her style. I like her style of fighting. But I don't know the details on her comment. If you guys can fill me in, were they ever set to fight? Did Michaela not want to fight? I don't know that. So if you guys can fill me in on that.
As far as the 2 years, waiting for her for 2 years, I don't know either.
Yeah,
I don't know if
yeah.
there was ever a talk, if there's ever a talk of them ever facing each other. Maybe there was. Maybe there was a talk of bringing Hamadouche over to the United States. David probably more about that than we do, David.
Well, at the time there was a mention about Hamadouche, but there was always because she always had her own agenda. Hamadouche, I mean, she was going to fight the Korean girl for more than a year, and there was other talks of her fighting. There was another girl, I forget who it was. I think it was a champion, but anyway, Top Rank kind of they have their own plan. They don't read social media. I mean, the Top Rank people that decide the decisions. So mm-hmm. whether or not there was this going back and forth, Top Rank has their plan and they stick to it. That's the way they are. They
yeah,
don't go
true.
By social media.
Yeah, they don't go by much of a public opinion. They basically do what they
no.
feel is the best thing to do for first the company and second the fighter. Now, I do like Mayer's plan, but I think it might be a little bit hard to execute because Hamadouche and Hyunmyo Choi, you know, the IBF and the WBA, I'm sorry, respective champions, they never go out of their country. They never fight out of France and South Korea. So for them to actually go and face each other, I mean, unless it's on a barge in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean, or the South Pacific or something, I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, so if Mayer is looking to unify the division, I think she's going to have to stamp her passport and look into it herself and look for those fights. So in more Mayer news, and going along with her plan, her bout against current WBO 130-pound champion Eva Braunica of Poland more than likely will go to purse bid today. It was supposed to go to purse bid today. It seems that Top Rank and Mayer Box represent them respectively did not come to an agreement or even began a conversation. The purse bid was to be held today, like I just mentioned, via Zoom conference, but no word has been made public if any
Wait,
promoter bid
today?
On the ballot.
Was it Felipe,
was it tomorrow? I did see some conflicting reports. So it might have been today, it might have been tomorrow. Hopefully it's tomorrow because we haven't heard anything about it. David, do you know if
yeah,
it's going to be tomorrow or today?
I thought it was on Friday.
Yeah,
and then usually they're on Friday. So, yeah. So hopefully it happens tomorrow because I think I saw a report that it was going to be today, but I might be mistaken in that report. More than likely is mistaken. So hopefully it is tomorrow. And then by the next show, we'll be able to discuss if the fight was made or if they don't get to an agreement, Braunica might leave the title vacant and Mayer will be able to fight whoever Top Rank chooses for her because like we mentioned thousands of times before on the show, the WBO doesn't have any rankings. And lastly, in the fight chatter, after it was announced the fight card on August 28th at the Fantasy Springs Casino promoted by Golden Boy was going to go ahead after Jorge Linares was positive for COVID-19 and scrapped from the main event. Today, in a press release, Golden Boy announced a postponement of the card, which was to be aired on The Zone. Featured on the card was the return of Olympian medalist Marlene Esparza, coming off her first pro loss last year to face veteran Noemi Bosques. Bosques actually broke the news yesterday on her Twitter account. No word of a new date or if Esparza versus Bosques will be added on another card soon. David, you've got your ear on the ground there as far as LA and Golden Boy. Any idea of this fight being redone somewhere in the next couple months? And is Esparza going to be on it?
There is a chance that it's going to be redone, and there is a chance that it'll be Marlon, but they're not really certain. There's still some other irons in the fire. For instance, there's still Canelo up in the air. There's still Ryan Garcia up in the air, and they got to situate all those fights before they can decide what to do with Fantasy Springs.
Well, if Canelo, supposedly the Ryan Garcia against Luke Campbell fight has got to an agreement and it's going to be in the United States. And if we're still in the pandemic, more than likely it's going to be at the Fantasy Springs Casino. Canelo Alvarez has stated before that he'll be willing to fight without an audience, but that's up in the air as well. But if that happens, it will probably be at the Fantasy Springs Casino. So who knows? I mean, I would imagine that Esparza would be on the card with either one of those fighters, being that, you know, she tends to fight her way into those fight cards. But would Bosques be the right opponent for such a fight that the one that got postponed was? I don't think it will be, but, you know, it is what it is. What do you think, Lupi?
I think, you know, I like Noemi. I mean, she fights anybody anytime. She's a fan favorite. But I'd like to see somebody else on that card with Esparza. I know David threw a name around, and I like that name.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned a name on here before, which was Adelaida Ruiz from Southern California. But as far as we know, I mean, Yocasta Valle is signed to Red Boxing, who is out of here, out of Pico Rivera. I believe they're from Pico Rivera. I know they have their fight cards there. And Adelaida Ruiz has also been on those fight cards. But I don't think Ruiz has an actual contract with that promotional company, right, David?
No.
So I think
she's a free agent.
Yeah, so it would be an easier fight to make since they would just be speaking to Ruiz's team and not an actual promotional company. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted as far as that fight gets made or if Esparza ends up on another fight card. Now, going up to an upcoming calendar, there's really not much to report coming up since that Esparza fight Saturday in 2 days from the final Matchroom fight camp date from Eddie Hearn's backyard in Essex, England on The Zone, which is going to be in the early afternoon here in Southern California or in the West Coast. The rematch that a lot of us have been waiting for, if not the whole female boxing world, Katie Taylor defends her IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO titles against former WBC lightweight champion Delphine Persoon at 135 pounds. That will be the semi-main event on the card. And on Wednesday, August 26th, probably not going to be broadcast here in the United States, but probably find it on YouTube afterwards from Queensland, Australia, Shannon O'Connor will take on Kylie Fulmer in an 8-rounder at Super Bantamweight. So, David, what do you think? I mean, I don't even know where to start. We got about 10 minutes. What do you think about Katie Taylor, Delphine Persoon? We know the story of why this fight happened. It was supposed to be Amanda Serrano, but I mean, I'm even still on the fence in trying to decide which is a better fight, because Taylor Persoon won was a great fight, but back in June, it was back and forth. We saw Taylor around something never seen professional. Many saw Persoon win the fight at the end. Obviously, the official result was for Katie Taylor. So, I mean, it's a great fight. I don't even know which way to lean. Go ahead.
I have a big asterisk on that fight. First, because like I said many, many times, Persoon and Taylor were not tested, or the results were never revealed. I have a suspicion. I don't want to throw it on any particular fighter, but Delphine Persoon has not been tested, ever. There's never been test results given from Persoon, so we don't know if she's under PEDs or not. That first fight, yeah, people thought she won, but was she clean? That's my question. This fight, they're doing body testing. I want to see the results. I want to, you know, regardless of who wins, I want to make sure that they have results because I want a clean fight. I don't even rate Delphine Persoon in the top pound for pound because of that, because she's never been tested. And I want to see somebody come out with results on her. That's my answer
now,
to that.
Now, we can assume, since you mentioned that they have bad attacks, this and a report has come out that she's dirty, you know. See, the thing is, I don't know the legalities. Let's say, for instance, that she did test positive. Does VADA have the right to make those results public if Matchboxing doesn't want to? Because that's
you're breaking up.
What's the point of having?
They should.
No. The promoter has the right to do it, and the commission has the right to reveal it, and the fighters have the right to do it. But it's up to them. I mean, just like the last fight, the WBC didn't want to do it. That's the other group that can do it. The WBC is the one that, you know, is ordering the through the clean boxing program. The first fight, they didn't reveal it, and neither did New York. Now it's switched over to England. But the WBC is still part of that. They can order that the test be released, the test results. And Matchroom Boxing can ask that the test results be released.
How has Matchroom Boxing been with releasing results, David?
You know what? I haven't. Well, they did have some positive tests. I think
Dillian White.
Yeah,
Dillian White.
There you go.
I
wasn't sure if it was White.
Mm-hmm. He's
I wasn't
tomorrow.
Sure if it was White, but he did. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a semi-main event.
No, he's the main event. He's the main event, and Katie's a semi-main.
No, Katie's a no,
really?
No. I think Katie's the main event.
I think they
we'll
call
see.
It a co-main event.
Mm. But who's gonna fight last? I think
that
Dillian White, Alexander Povetkin fight gonna stop the bet. But inside the ring, Loopy, what do you expect to happen inside the ring? Do you think we're going to just see the 11th round of the last fight, or do you think that either one of them, or actually both, are going to make some adjustments of what they learned from the first fight?
They better make some adjustments from what they learned. Taylor better make some adjustments. Yassine, I was looking at the press conference. She looked so determined and a little mad. I think Taylor better come with her A game. A+.
David?
Well, like I said before, I'm beating the same drum again. But if Delphine Persoon is clean, I don't expect her to go 10 rounds like she did last time.
Yeah, I mean, that would make a difference.
I mean,
make a
that was inhuman. That was inhuman. I mean, she did not get tired. Katie got tired.
Yeah. Now, you know, what we saw in the last fight, we saw something that maybe not a lot of us expected, but we saw Katie Taylor able to be the better boxer, have the better defense, have the faster hands and feet. But we saw Delphine Persoon basically dictate the fight, whether it's clean or not. At the end of the day, she dictated her fight. She made it into a street fight, and Katie Taylor wasn't able to style. In the analysis that I wrote, that hopefully it's posted soon on theprizefighters.com. To me, the biggest criteria that I think was going to make the difference here are going to be the intangibles, because I want to see how strong Kate Taylor is mind wise to know that the whole world saw Persoon, well, the majority of the boxing world saw Persoon win that fight, and that Persoon is going to go into that ring knowing that she won that fight, and I want to see how Katie Taylor deals with that. If she's going to be tempted to try to be Fortuna Gay in a street fight, or if she's going to do what she's supposed to do and box and move and use her athleticism to beat Delphine Persoon. That is the question to me. I think that she will. I think that she's been fighting since 11 years old. She felt the pressure for all that time and all those world amateur titles and that gold medal and everything. I think that she's going to be strong mentally, enough mentally to be able to make those adjustments and be more disciplined and stay with her style that she should stay. And I think that this win is going to be a lot less controversial than the last one. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with that.
I agree. And we shall see.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of changes from both sides. I think Delphine Persoon basically figured out the formula. And there is a method that Katie goes through most of the time. And Delphine Persoon is the only one that I've seen that really figured it out. Not even Jessica McCaskill figured it out in their first fight, but Delphine did. And I saw her use it, and all of a sudden it nullified Katie's movement. And Delphine found out how to cut up one side of the ring, and that kind of made a big difference. Now, Katie's got to make the change now. Now she knows that Delphine knows how to cut her off on that side, and she's got to make an adjustment somehow. So it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very tactical.
One thing that you did mention there is that Jessica McCaskill, in your opinion, was not able to figure it out. But one thing that needs to be mentioned is that Persoon has much more experience than Jessica McCaskill does as a pro. So that might have Persoon be able to figure out how to nullify Taylor's athleticism and her style. So now that Jessica McCaskill has a lot more experience, it might be easy. Not a lot, because it's only been like 3 or 4 fights since she fought Taylor. But getting in the ring with Eric Farias twice, getting in the ring with Sanchez, getting in the ring with Breakup, I'm pretty much you pretty close to the head of the class as far as experience comes at world class level. And that's something I need to say. So that's it. We reached the end of the show. Unless you guys have anything else to add, anything else from David or Luke?
Yes. You know what? I do. So Team USA's world gold medalist, Danielle Chambers-Perkins, she won her pro debut earlier today.
Oh, perfect. How did she win it?
She won it. You know, she unloaded in the third, and it was unanimous. I'm surprised she didn't knock her out. I got to talk to her and see what happened in that. It seemed like she could have knocked her out. That girl was just hurting by the third and the fourth. So you guys, if you have UFC Fight Pass, you should check it out. It was worth it.
Okay. Well, actually, piggybacking on that, earlier today on our Blog Talk feed here, blogtalkradio.com/2-minute-round, and obviously you can find the links on Twitter and on Instagram. Luke Gettis actually had a conversation with Danielle Perkins yesterday prior to her pro debut. It's a 2-minute round face-to-face. So you guys want to catch that and see what Perkins had to say before her fight. And much more than that, how she got into boxing, her hobbies. It was a really good interview. So you guys want to go and listen to that. It'll be a great listen. So with that said, we want to thank everybody for being with us here on the show. We'll be back on September 3rd. More than likely, we'll have an exciting guest as an interview, and we'll be able to discuss in full what we saw between Katie Taylor and Delphine Persoon that night. So with that said, from David and Lucas, we bid you good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.